When Coach Landry became the coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the 1960s, he found a team with a very, very low morale and without one single win under their belts. They were injured and they were outclassed in every single game. Landry gave serious attention to what was necessary in order to change that ball club into one which would be the envy of the entire NFL, except, of course, for the Vikings. In the very next game, something amazing happened. The Cowboys shot out of the clubhouse and onto the field with such speed and such motivation that reporters asked Coach Landry what he had done. As the reporters put their pens to their pads, Coach Landry grinned and said, "I just told them that the last ones on the field would have to start." That coach encouraged his players to action. And so today we are going to look at that gift of encouragement and how encouragement enables us and others to take action to really live life, to grasp this wonderful and beautiful gift of life God has given us. Let's pray as we begin. God, as we hear your words read and shared, open our ears so that we can hear. Free us from distractions, those things around us, and all those thoughts in our heads competing for our attention. Free us from that so that we can listen to you. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine. And then, God, would you do something profound? Would you open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message? In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Many years ago, there was a man named Ben who was born in the Tennessee mountains. Because his mother wasn't married when he was born and no one seemed to know who his father was, other children and even other adults would call him terrible names and would make guesses as to who his father might be. When he was 12 years old, a new pastor came to his church, and one day the pastor came up to Ben and put his hand on Ben's shoulder and looked right at him and said, "Whose boy are you?" It was like a black cloud came down over Ben. Even the pastor was putting him down. The pastor continued to look at the boy, studying his face, and then he began to smile, a smile of recognition. "Wait a minute," he said. "I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You are a child of God." And with that, he squeezed the boy's shoulder and said, "Son, you have got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." Ben ends his story by saying, "Those were the most important words that anyone had ever spoken to me." Who is this Ben? It's Ben Hooper, who grew up to be the governor of Tennessee. A story of encouragement. The source of encouragement came in Ben knowing and believing that he was a child of God. It was a gift that enabled Ben to endure and succeed and encourage others. Knowing and believing that he is a child of God. I hope there is never a Sunday morning when you come to this church where you don't clearly get the message that you are known and seen by God and you are a beloved child of God. And you ask, why do we have to keep hearing that message? We already know that. We need to be reminded of that, because when we know that we are a beloved child of God, created in God's own image, then that makes all the difference in the world, and our souls are encouraged, and we can overcome that which we thought we could never overcome, and we can do that which we thought we could never do, because that's what God's encouragement does, and that's why we need to name and claim who we are and encourage others by helping them name and claim their great identity. And that's exactly what both of today's scripture passages are about. They're about that great encouragement. In the Gospel of Matthew, we find the disciples scared and confused, anxious and unsure of themselves. Jesus is going to leave them. They don't know what to do. They've always had his help before. And to his overwhelmed friends, Jesus says to them, "Go and make disciples of all nations, and remember this, lo, I am with you always." Do you recognize that phrase? I hope we are the church of lo, the church that reminds ourselves and others, lo, I am with you always. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, I believe in you. I know things are going to be hard, but I've got an important job for you, and I know that you can do it. Go and spread the gospel, the good news, throughout the world. Go and teach the faith. Go and be a light to others. Go and be a witness to the world of what it looks like to live out the ways of God and to know the encouragement of being God's beloved. But this spreading of the gospel, it isn't something that the disciples were expected or able to do in their own power. Jesus further encourages them by saying, go. Go and live out your faith. And lo, I go with you. Encouragement. Encouragement doesn't just affirm someone. But encouragement empowers people for action. In encouraging the disciples, Jesus communicated to them that he loved them, that they had great potential, more potential than they could even imagine, and that he would always be with them. But that is not all he did. He gave them a job to do, a job of spreading the gospel throughout the world in word and in action. There's a familiar story about three boys who were arguing about which one's mother loved him more. The first boy said, "My mom loves me more because when I give her a quarter, she gives the quarter back to me and tells me to go and buy a piece of candy." The second boy said, "My mom loves me even more because if I gave her a quarter, she would give me two quarters back and tell me to go and buy whatever I wanted." And the third boy said, "My mom loves me the most, because if I gave her a quarter, she would keep it, and she would tell me how much it was going to help our family." Genuine encouragement calls a person to give, lets a person know that they are needed, helps a person see that his or her own contribution is valuable and necessary. Genuine encouragement creates a disciple rather than a consumer. And so in this church, when you are asked to do something, I hope you don't see it as something that's putting something upon you, but I hope you see it as encouragement, as something that's calling you into discipleship because you have something to offer that others need. And parents out there, help make your children disciples and not just consumers. Give them work to do, tasks to do. Invite them to be a part of ministry in their own home and in their world, because that is where the emptiness in their soul is filled. The book of Acts, from which our second scripture reading for today comes, tells the story of the first century church, those who were first commissioned with making disciples throughout the world. In the beginning chapters, the risen Jesus appears to his followers and commissions them to spread the good news about his resurrection. Spreading the good news about Jesus' resurrection indeed is telling people that Jesus was dead and is now alive, and that even death can't stop us. And though one day we will die, God promises us there is more. Our souls inside know, and now Jesus is showing us. But resurrection is more than even that. The good news that they are to share of resurrection is also that we can be free from the powers of death. Those things that hold us in bondage, our fears, our anxiety, our lack of confidence. Resurrection promises freedom from those powers of death. And after Jesus ascends into the heaven, his believers receive boldness and they receive courage from the Holy Spirit to go out and share the gospel message. And friends in Christ, we come here every Sunday morning so that we can hear the message of God's belovedness, how we are beloved in God's sight, and so that we can receive boldness and courage to live out our faith no matter what is happening, to live in the world. Well, into today's scripture scene comes a man named Barnabas. His real name is Joseph. The name Barnabas is a nickname that the disciples gave him because of his character. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. In today's scripture story, Barnabas sells a field and donates the proceeds to help meet the needs of the other believers. Barnabas did more encouraging than that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who is so involved in the New Testament, he was a persecutor of Christians before, and so people didn't trust him, but Barnabas encouraged and helped people to accept Paul's leadership. And then there was a young man named John Mark who had failed Paul when they were on a missionary journey together, but Barnabas encircled him and gave young John Mark another chance. Barnabas' encouraging ways were vital to the growth of the early church. Barnabas, along with other early Christians, were so committed to the ways of Jesus Christ, were so committed to practicing their faith, were so concerned about people and offering them the life of Christ, that they were willing to do anything it took to share that message with others and help the church grow. And as a result, that early church grew. It grew numerically, and it grew spiritually, and great things happened in that church. And because that early church grew, we are here today in this church. You see, the gospel story in Acts about the start of the church, it isn't something back then. Because of what happened then, we are here now. Today's scripture tells us that because those people were willing to give sacrificially and care deeply to meet the needs of others, several important things happened. First, the church was unified. All the believers were one in heart and mind. It's unity, not conformity. Churches can see things differently, can understand differently, and still be unified. And when all people in a church unite to accomplish a common goal, something happens, which we see in the example of the early church. The church was powerful. When believers are unified in Christ, they have the power to accomplish the mission of the church, which is just what the early church did. The church spread the gospel. The mission of God's church is to share the good news in words and actions. So every single time you or I contribute to the church in word or action, with our gifts, with our finances, we are helping spread the message of the gospel, which leads to what happened in that first century church. People's lives were changed. When needs are met by the church, people experience the grace of God. Lost people are saved. Wounded people are healed. Disillusioned people are given vision. People who are in bondage are set free. Believers are encouraged, and all are changed. Folks, beloved ones, we are needed in this church. And we are needed in this world, whatever our circumstance may be. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, our giving of our time, talents, gifts, service, and witness here provides a spiritual foundation for our children, offers a safe place for our teenagers to explore their faith, deal with their emotions, and make life decisions, offers care and nurture to church and community members, provides opportunities for adults to study the Bible and participate in Christian fellowship, enables us to participate in missions locally, regionally, and globally, inspires us to participate in acts of social justice to offer God's life to everyone, and calls us to care for the whole world, including our environment. Every minute of time that you donate, Every action of faith that you take, every gift you share, every prayer you pray, every dollar you give makes a difference. It makes a difference in our mission of offering hope and healing right here and everywhere. You, just like those early disciples, are needed. And you need to be a disciple for the sake of your soul. What Jesus said to his disciples long ago, he is saying to you and to me today. Go out into the world and make disciples. Be my love in the life of those who are hurting and needing healing. Offer forgiveness and understanding, even when it is hard to do so. Be a light of hope to the world. Make the world a place where everyone is welcomed in God's embrace, and there is always a second chance. In situations that seem impossible, become possible. Teach all people how to live the way that leads to deep connection with God and others and nature and ourselves. Jesus encourages us. And by loving us and encouraging us, Jesus then sends us out to make a difference in the world. And he says these profound words to us, words that we never can forget. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lo, I am with you always when it is tough. Lo, I am with you always when it seems impossible. Lo, I am with you always when your heart is ready to break. Lo, I am with you always. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is with us always, empowering us, inspiring us, encouraging us, giving us vision and purpose and hope. In just a few minutes, we're going to come to this table of Holy Communion to remember Jesus' promise that he is always with us, to be filled with God's vision, to be forgiven, to be encouraged, strengthened, and freed, to be given hope. We come to the table to meet Christ once again and to have our spirits encouraged as Christ fills us anew. I invite you to come to the table of encouragement today. Aren't your souls yearning, longing for a touch of God's encouragement? Hear Jesus' commission on you to go and make disciples of all nations, to share God's love in word and action, to be a disciple rather than a consumer, and to listen to Christ's promise to be with you always. Friends, may we in this church be like the disciples of that first century. Let us be unified in this church. And in our unity, let's find Holy Spirit power that is available to us. And in that power, let's share the good news of God's hope and healing. And through that sharing, let's be a part of all creation being saved and changed. May it be so. Amen.